Okay, it's a short lecture, only 20 minutes, not too much time lecture. So will it register? Or you can tell now whether it registers, yes? It's just for some people who are not here. Om Agyanati Marandasya Gyaranjana Shalakaya Shakshun Vitamina Tasma Shri Gurdina Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stavkan Yena Bhupala Swayamantra Kadamaya Yadati Swaha Kudantikam Namo Vishnu Padani Krishna Krishna Bhupale Shri Kudakti Vidanti Swaha Vidyamne Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Chayani Nirvishesha Shunya Madhupashtakani Shatavini Chapter 3, text 10, Bhagavad Gita as it is. The chapter is entitled Karma Yoga, and I repeat the verse. Saha yajna praja shishta kurova cha prajapati anena prasadishya vahisha vos trishta kamadu. In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods, along with sacrifices for Vishnu, and blessed them by saying, be thou happy by this yajna sacrifice, because its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and achieving the position. Yes. So thank you very much for coming and lending your ears to the divine message of the Bhagavad Gita, as it is, the song of God. Mukam karoti vachalam pangomangayate girim yatkipatam bhante shri gurum dhinatayanam. So, Srila Prabhupada is speaking about... Well, you don't need it now, because now I'm going to speak something different than what's said. Okay. But you can read it afterwards.
Okay.
So, not different, but I mean, elaborating on what's said.
Yeah.
Mm. We are fine with the languages, or do we need translations?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, that we have a chance in this world to learn our lesson. Sometimes it's said that life is a school, right? Is it right?
Life is a world.
A school.
A school. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And living is a learning process.
It's university.
Yeah, some people never learn their lessons. I will do it my way. But then, making so much progress. But here, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that. So, we can get cured from our misconceptions, diseases. So, sometimes also, it's compared to a hospital. Or the movement for Krishna consciousness, more specifically, is compared sometimes to a hospital, so where you come to get cured from all the diseases. So we have so many diseases. It's called the material disease, and it has many aspects and symptoms. Thus, anger, greed, illusion, madness, right? So, but then when we practice Bhakti Yoga, we very quickly can overcome this. That qualities, which are symptomatic of the age of Kali especially. So that's a little bit what's the ingredients of today's topic. We are in the age of Kali. Sacrifice is a remedy for getting cured. And what is the sacrifice? The sacrifice for this age is which? Any idea?
Sacrifice.
Yeah, which sacrifice is prescribed for this age? This day and age?
Chanting on the
road. Which is called in Sanskrit? You know, I guess.
Harikom Sankirtan.
Yeah, Sankirtan, yeah. So, and we got this quote from the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. Yagye Sankirtan. So what does that mean? Yagya is a sacrifice. So that's a Sanskrit for a sacrifice. Maybe familiar with that word. And Sankirtan, which is the name of this chanting of holy names is sacrifice, which doesn't cost you penny, and which is not difficult at all. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know the song?
Yes.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So we can confidently say that by following this process of sankirtan, life gets better at every step, and we're getting cured because we're getting better from our disease of ignorance and the attraction to the glitter, the glamour of material attraction. So we are getting rid of that by purifying the heart, by enthusiastically practicing the chanting of the holy name and the whole process of bhakti yoga. We're not only chanting, we're also making flower garlands for these and doing so many practical services. And we roll up our sleeves for Krishna. So everybody's rolling up their sleeves in this world and we're sweating for some result which we want to enjoy ourselves. But just previous to this verse, we had heard that when you do that, you work out and you take the credit. You take the result for yourself. What's happening? Karma bandhana. Locally on karma bandhana. You get bound up in this world. Work done as a sacrifice for Krishna has to be performed. And otherwise, work causes bondage. Whatever you do, whether good, bad, very bad activities or good activities, all of them are going to cause bondage. You will be bound up and you will get entangled in the karmic reactions and you get stuck in this world. One action will lead to another reaction, and in this way, life after life, we are in this cycle of birth, death, formation, disease already for a long time. You don't want to know how long. So here is a chance. Ramanda Ramate Kona Bhakti Bhakti Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bhakti. By getting in touch with the Guru and the seed of transcendental or the seed of bhakti, love of God is planted in the heart. You have a heart implantation. And with all of us, it seems, somehow or other we got in touch with the books of Srila Prabhupada, we are studying them right now here in this assembly. So, and then this journey throughout many universes, throughout many different life forms, can come to an end. As it is said in the purport to this text, Srila Prabhupada says, this material world is a chance for the living entity to learn a lesson and to again learn to love Krishna. So to know Krishna is the purpose of all the Vedas. Srila Prabhupada quoted that from Bhagavad Gita where Krishna himself says, sarvasya chanvidhi sanitiso matas vidya jnanam apoham cha vedesya sarve aham eva vidyo vedanta krit veda eva cha. By all the Vedas, the goal of these books is to know me, Krishna says. That's the goal of all this knowledge. Whether it's Ashtanga Yoga, mystic, or Jnana Yoga, all this knowledge about the difference about matter and spirit, and how this world is construed, all the elements, Sankhya Yoga is called. So it all has a goal. The goal is to know Krishna. And when we know him and our relationship to him, our position as a tiny part of God, we are godly, yet not God. So then we will realize there is this relationship which makes sense, that a part is always subservient to the greater whole, to which it belongs, and that makes a wonderful whole, a wonderful cooperation. Then there is a big machine and a technical man. So in a machine there are so many parts and they all have specific function, and a very insignificant part of a machine, be it a nut or a bolt, can make a whole difference. When it's not there, our curtains don't close because one part failed. So therefore we're sitting here. So but when everything is in place, then everything is wonderful and it works as we would expect it to. This world also, sometimes people say, in our language we say the world turns square. Or we are, when people are square, then things don't go smooth. So that means the parts are not fulfilling their purpose. So we are in God's plan, the creator, the organizer, the manager, the brain, the engineer of this whole creation. Everybody has a place. The animals, the plants, the human beings. And we have responsibility, big responsibility, as human beings. We are running a big part of the show. Or we can also cause the whole show to get spoiled. Just invent a nuclear plant and you see the results. You know some other examples? So just now we were reading in the beginning of the second chapter, now in the seventh chapter, there's a list of incarnations, and it starts with Varaha, and a little further. And Varaha Dev had to come because the earth has lost its weightlessness, and the cause was the drilling, the mining of the earth. So Srila Prabhupada was referring, demons, they are drilling the earth and exploiting the earth, like we are drilling the earth like anything. Tons and tons of oil, we're taking, and this can have a disastrous effect. And there is a precedent when Hiranyaksha, the first demon, Srila Prabhupada said, he said Lord Brahma was the first demigod, and Hiranyaksha was the first demon. So he was accumulating gold, he was hoarding gold. And because of this, the earth had lost its mystical power of weightlessness and had fallen into the ocean. Of the universal ocean. So
is it possible?
Yeah, okay, I can wind it up in 2 minutes and then don't forget the point. So that means that men, unlike animals, because of their high intelligence, they are also apt, quite fit to create huge disturbances. And we must make sure we are not part of the problem, we are part of the solution. So that's our responsibility as a human being. If at least you can't be part of the problem, and become a part of the solution, then also we can become successful in life and realize the goal of life. As a human, we can learn our lessons, and we can live very happily, comfortably, but only that, also transcend this world and become ultimately well situated. Ultimately, we worship as a servant of God in the spiritual world. So we can get free of all our illusion, our conditioned nature, and we become a superior being, situated in this original position, full of knowledge, eternity, and bliss. Now we are not even happy, or to speak of bliss. So that's the reality of affairs. And this can all be achieved by performing psychic intervention. But I think it's the essence of this verse. Let's discuss it. Thank you for listening.
I was just, you know, the bit where you said that the earth was once light and then it became heavy and fell.
Yeah, the weightlessness of the earth.
Yeah.
So the weight remains the same, but you know, we are.
Does it mean that it was a subtle planet, if it was not subtle?
But how to say, this power which keeps our hand in its orbit, undoubtedly is a. It's a mystic power, yes.
Yeah,
it's coming from the Lord.
It's a mystic power, yeah.
Sure. Behold my mystic power. This whole creation is full of mystic power.
Yeah.
Yes? There is so much order. Yes? The super soul is coordinating so many things, yes.
Mm.
Seasons are coming back year after year. Sun is rising day after day and setting.
Mm.
But they don't skip even one day. Right? The moon also is coming right in time.
Yes.
So the birds who are flying across the earth, or the tortoise who swim over generations to all the parts of the world, they don't lose track.
Mm-hmm.
They find it on the way back. Mm-hmm. So this is all, Srila Prabhupada explains, a proof of the presence of the Super Soul, of the Supreme Coordinator, present in the heart of all. Yes. What do you think of all this? Does this make sense? Are there any questions? Are there any comments?
Yeah, I have a personal question then, maybe. What is your, what kind of energy does Lord Krishna represent? How do you think manifest or himself? Or what can be another word for him? How to see him as divine? Of course, he's divine, but how do you think? Can you see it? You can feel it? And speak with him, the Lord. But that is he also formless? Or
yes and no.
Yeah.
This is a very confusing answer.
Yeah.
So I will elaborate on this answer.
Yeah.
So there are three main aspects of the Lord, which is described in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So there is said. Vedantita, Tattva Vidas, Tattva Mirsh Vyana Advaya, Vyamati Paramahati Bhagavan, Piti Shankati, which means that, so learned transcendentalists, they understood the truth in three aspects, namely Brahman, which is the energy of the Lord, which is present everywhere, then also this creation. Sometimes we hear about Brahman. Anyway, there's many understandings about this word Brahman.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the energy of the Lord. Then we have the localized aspect present in the heart of all living beings, and even in every atom, which is called super soul, which I mentioned in my talk. Super soul or Paramatma, the supreme Atma. Yes, the supreme soul. Yes. And but what that's higher than Brahma realization, and still higher is the first localized view. Who you see? Do you recognize the person? He's here also, with another friend. And then he's here, and here. So, and on the altar also. Soon you will have a chance to see him again. So the Lord is also a person. We are not more than the Lord. He's not less than us. We are persons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we, or is there any distraction about us? Well, we are persons. Mm-hmm. Yes, and even we are eternally persons, Krishna in text 12 of the second chapter. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you know all of these things, nor in the future shall anyone cease to be. So he's making it very clear that it's not that you're a person now, but just now you won't be a person anymore. So, okay, then the other part of the question, how do we perceive Krishna? Can you feel him? Yes. Can you talk to him? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You can. Like the super soul is talking to us constantly. Only we are so dull and stubborn also. How to say? How would you say in English for the book of Agavans?
Obstinate.
Obstinate and self-righteous. So that we sometimes don't hear that voice. So that's also how you can feel him and hear him. As a super soul speaking to us. Yes. And then so many great personalities, great devotees, they speak to their murti, to their deity which they worship, and the deity answers.
Yeah.
We can read about the universe of great souls. We should never measure others by our own level. Sometimes we have a tendency, I can't jump 170, so I think nobody can, or I'm not sure nobody can.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's a tendency. So, little bit of faith is enough to realize so much when you're going from others. So that's the prerequisite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these are a few ways in which you can communicate. You just should have the initial faith. Krishna is able, he's completely perfect, he's perfectly able to reciprocate with me. If I approach him as a person, he's going to be a person. He's very, very doubtful about that, that he will, that it will take much longer before he will manifest. Because why should I reveal myself to this skeptic or not? He says in Bhagavad Gita, Naham Prakasha Sarvana, I never manifest to doubtful person, to the foolish, to don't understand that that's what he is saying. And how would you be if your wife or your father would say, well, I'm not quite sure whether you're a person. But you will not act very personal with that person. You don't give your heart. So he says, Krishna, and that's quite all encompassing, as for surrender to me, I will reciprocate them. Accordingly. Yeah. So, does it help?
Yes.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments?
Yeah, no, it's important to understand that, you know, he's actually not really giving his opinion. And everything we do here is based on scripture.
Yeah.
And there's many authorities that have confirmed that Krishna is actually God. So, you know, so many religions are there, so many, you know, spiritual seekers, spiritual paths. But we actually can say that we know who is God. And it's based on authority. So this is God. This is Krishna. And he came on this planet 5,000 years ago. He was actually here. And this body is spiritual. Like, we're also spiritual, but it's the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Our body is material. It's made out of blood. It's like a machine, very intricate robot. Mm-hmm. But Krishna's body is not like that. It's completely spiritual. And he can be here on this planet. Actually, when he came here, he took, like, when Obama comes, he takes his, you know, his limousine and his servants and bring hamburgers, his airplane, everything. But when Krishna comes, he even brings his land. So there's a place near Delhi. When you go to Agra, you must have heard of Agra.
Yes, yes.
Right. So if you go on that road from Delhi to Agra, there is a place called Vrindavan or Mathura. And that is where Krishna is born. And that place, actually, it is a spiritual place. That whole area is spiritual. Actually, the way it's described, that Krishna brought it from the spiritual world. But like he said, we need to have the eyes to perceive it. So Krishna, he came there 5,000 years ago. And at the same time, when he was there, he is also in the spiritual world. That is God. He is absolute. He can expand himself without diminishing himself. And this body is completely spiritual. It's described that his eyes can listen, he can eat with his ears. It's a little bit difficult for us to understand it, but it's like that. And he had all these pastimes that you can see some of them here. And they actually really happened. But in India, sometimes they say, yeah, you have Krishna, you have Shiva, you have Brahma. But they don't really know that. And actually, Krishna is God because he was playing like an ordinary king, ordinary human. But it's confirmed by all the authorities, actually. Like you have Shankaracharya, even he said Krishna is God. In all the scriptures, it's confirmed. Lord Brahma is saying Krishna is God. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's saying it. So many acharyas, they are all confirming that Krishna is God. Different scriptures. In Bhagavad Gita is very clearly stated by Krishna himself that he is God. So you need to gather the different evidence, and then if you are sincere and you research it, then you cannot but accept that actually Krishna is God. It's a little bit, in the beginning, it's a little bit difficult to understand because we know Krishna. We think, oh yeah, it's Krishna. Like they said, familiarity breeds contempt. But it's actually been brought by Srila Prabhupada in the 60s. And is what we bring you is very exclusive. We cannot imagine how exclusive, what a luck we all have to know about Krishna, that he's God, and that we can have a relationship with him, which is our eternal position. We actually were with Krishna eternally, and we were eating with him and laughing with him and dancing with him. It depends. You can have different relationship either as a mother or as a father, or as a lover, or as a friend, or as a servant. And some order we left. And that's why Krishna created this world, to enjoy separately from Him.
Is that clear, Maharaj?
Yeah.
Is it not yet too much information?
No,
no, my dad is Hindu, so I know some about the Hindu religion. Okay. He's from India.
So you have a good background for me.
Yes, but my mother is from Holland, so I was brought up in more Western.
I think this is a very valuable addition.
Thank you.
Yeah, and just one last thing. This is also not Hindu. Prabhupada explains that the word Hindu, it's given by the Muslims. It was a river called the Indus, and they called the people who lived there the Hindus. But Hinduism actually is based on the Vedic scriptures, which is basically what we study in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam.
Well, he's from Hinduism, my dad.
No, I understand, but I'm trying to explain that Hinduism is actually based on these scriptures.
Yeah.
And Hinduism actually, it's a little bit degraded.
So it's not on the same path?
It's on the same path, but it's a little bit degraded. This is called the Vedic civilization. And the Veda, these are the Vedas, part of the Vedas, the essence of the Vedas actually.
Okay.
And the Hindus, they take different parts. And they kind of miss the essence. And one of the main things they miss is that they have this caste system.
Caste?
Yeah, and it's based on birth in India.
Yeah.
But Krishna explains the caste system. It's ultimately coming from Krishna, from there, that it's based on qualities and activities, which makes sense. Like a doctor is based on his activities, how he does, and that he has an exam.
Yeah.
So similarly with a priest or a brahmana or even a Hindu, it's based on the qualities that he has. And that is actually one of the main things in the Vedic culture, where it went wrong, and why also the Muslims were so successful there. Because people were really fed up with people, pretending like I'm a brahmana and you have to do what I say, instead of acting according to that state.
Mm.
Because of course a doctor's son, he has a bigger chance to become a doctor.
Yeah.
But he must qualify himself. So similarly, a brahmana's son, he has a good chance to become a brahmana, but he has to qualify himself, and they abuse that system. They just started doing, well, they basically started taking money from people and not really being qualified. What we're doing here, we're educating people for free, which is what the brahmana should be doing. So that is just a little bit of history to understand how to place it. But ultimately, Prabhupada says the Hindu people or the Indian people, they have a tendency to walk a little bit away from Krishna.
Yeah, okay.
And like the Western people, or at least we try to walk towards Krishna.
Yeah.
But all they need to do is turn around, and then they're actually much closer than any of us. Because the culture, for them, it's naturally.
Yeah.
But they have a tendency to to confuse things and to make their own philosophy, and then it gets distorted. But if they could just accept the way Srila Prabhupada is explaining it, that's why I call it Bhagavad Gita as it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's about 400 versions, but nobody started becoming a devotee until Prabhupada came. If they can just accept that Bhagavad Gita, then they will become such nice qualified devotees. But if they don't, well, you can see India, I mean, I like India, but it's kind of a chaos.
It's really
good. Yeah, and it's due to that whole thing I just told you. The Muslims came in. Now the Hindus complain. The Muslims are governing us, but it has a history. And I just explained it.
And India is a really booming country. Also, towards the materialistic side, So that's also the thing that's why they're walking away from spirituality.
And India, actually, they could become world leaders.
Yeah, they're very strong personalities.
No, but if they would take up this Vedic culture, their original culture, if they would take it up, they could become the world leaders.
Yeah.
But if they think now that they can defeat like America and Europe, I don't think it will ever happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think they will always be one step behind.
Yeah, at least the point.
Yeah.
But if they take to this Vedic culture, spiritual, they will become world leaders for sure. So, time will tell.
Thank you.
So, So now there will be a little concept for the pleasure of the world. Thank you for listening.
Jai. Jai.